Chapter 5. Encumbrances and Liens. Encumbrances. An encumbrance is an interest in and right to real property that limits the legal owner's freehold interest. In effect, an encumbrance is another's right to use or take possession of a legal owner's property, or to prevent the legal owner from enjoying the full bundle of rights in the estate. An encumbrance does not include the right of possession, and is therefore a lesser interest than the owner's freehold interest. For that reason, encumbrances are not considered estates. However, an encumbrance can lead to the owner's loss of ownership of the property. Easements and liens are the most common types of encumbrance. An easement, such as a utility easement, enables others to use the property, regardless of the owner's desires. A lien, such as a tax lien, can be placed on the property's title, thereby restricting the owner's ability to transfer clear title to another party. The two general types of encumbrance are those that affect the property's use and those that affect legal ownership, value, and transfer. Easements. An easement is an interest in real property that gives the holder the right to use portions of the legal owner's real property in a defined way. Easement rights may apply to a property's surface, subsurface, or airspace, but the affected area must be defined. The receiver of the easement right is the benefited party. The giver of the easement right is the burdened party. Essential characteristics of easements include the following. An easement must involve the owner of the land over which the easement runs, and another non-owning party. One cannot own an easement over one's own property. An easement pertains to a specified physical area within the property boundaries. An easement may be affirmative, allowing a use, such as a right-of-way, or negative, prohibiting a use, such as an airspace easement that prohibits one property owner from obstructing another's ocean view. The two basic types of easement are appurtenant and gross. Easement appurtenant. An easement appurtenant gives a property owner a right of usage to portions of an adjoining property owned by another party. The property enjoying the usage right is called the dominant tenant or dominant estate. The property containing the physical easement itself is the servient tenement, since it must serve the easement use. The term appurtenant means attaching to. An easement appurtenant attaches to the estate and transfers with it unless specifically stated otherwise in the transaction documents. More specifically, the easement attaches as a beneficial interest to the dominant estate and as an encumbrance to the servient estate. The easement appurtenant then becomes part of the dominant estate's bundle of rights and the servient estate's obligation or encumbrance. Transfer. Easement appurtenant rights and obligations automatically transfer with the property upon transfer of either the dominant or servient estate, whether mentioned in the deed or not. For example, John grants Mary the right to share his driveway at any time over a 5-year period, and the grant is duly recorded. If Mary sells her property in 2 years, the easement right transfers to the buyer as part of the estate. Non-exclusive use. The servient tenement, as well as the dominant tenement, may use the easement area, provided the use does not unreasonably obstruct the dominant use. Easement by necessity. An easement by necessity is an easement appurtenant granted by a court of law to a property owner because of a circumstance of necessity, most commonly the need for access to a property. Since property cannot be legally landlocked or without legal access to a public thoroughfare, a court will grant an owner of a landlocked property an easement by necessity over an adjoining property that has access to a thoroughfare. The landlocked party becomes the dominant tenement, and the property containing the easement is the servient tenement. Party wall easement. A party wall is a common wall shared by two separate structures along a property boundary. Party wall agreements generally provide for severalty ownership of half the wall by each owner, or at least some fraction of the width of the wall. In addition, the agreement grants a negative easement appurtenant to each owner in the other's wall. This is to prevent unlimited use of the wall, in particular a destructive use that would jeopardize the adjacent property owner's building. The agreement also establishes responsibilities and obligations for maintenance and repair of the wall. For example, Helen and Troy are adjacent neighbors in an urban housing complex having party walls on property lines. They both agree that they separately own the portion of the party wall on their property. They also grant each other an easement appurtenant in their owned portion of the wall. The easement restricts any use of the wall that would impair its condition. They also agree to split any repairs or maintenance evenly. Other structures that are subject to party agreements are common fences, driveways, and walkways. Easement in gross. An easement in gross is a personal right that one party grants to another to use the grantor's real property. The right does not attach to the grantor's estate. It involves only one property, and consequently does not benefit any property owned by the easement owner. There are no dominant or servient estates in an easement in gross. An easement in gross may be personal or commercial. Personal. A personal easement in gross is granted for the grantee's lifetime. The right is irrevocable during this period, but terminates on the grantee's death. It may not be sold, assigned, transferred, or willed. A personal gross easement differs from a license in that the grantor of a license may revoke the usage right. Commercial. A commercial easement in gross is granted to a business entity rather than a private party. The duration of the commercial easement is not tied to anyone's lifetime. The right may be assigned, transferred, or willed. Examples of commercial gross easements include a marina's right-of-way to a boat ramp, or a utility company's right-of-way across a lot owner's property to install and maintain telephone lines. Easement creation. An easement may be created by voluntary action, by necessary or prescriptive operation of law, and by government power of eminent domain. Voluntary. A property owner may create a voluntary easement by express grant in a sale contract, or as a reserved right expressed in a deed. Necessity. A court decree creates an easement by necessity to provide access to a landlocked property. Easement by prescription. If someone uses another's property as an easement without permission for a statutory period of time and under certain conditions, a court order may give the user the easement right by prescription, regardless of the owner's desires. For a prescriptive easement order to be granted, the following circumstances must be true. Adverse and hostile use. The use has been occurring without permission or license. Open and notorious use. The owner knows or is presumed to have known of the use. Continuous use. The use has been generally uninterrupted over the statutory prescriptive period. For example, a subdivision owns an access road, which is also used by other neighborhoods to access a grocery store. One day, the subdivision blocks off the road, claiming it has never granted the neighbors permission to use the road. If the neighbors have been using the road for the prescribed period, they may sue for an easement by prescription, since the subdivision owners can be assumed to have known of the usage. Eminent domain. Government entities can create easements through the exercise of eminent domain, wherein they condemn a portion of a property and cause it to be sold for the greater good. A typical example is a town's condemnation of private land to create a new municipal sewer system. Easement termination. Easements terminate by express release of the right by the easement holder. Merger, as when a dominant tenement acquires the servient property or vice versa. Purposeful abandonment by the dominant tenement. Condemnation through eminent domain. Change or cessation of the purpose for the easement. Destruction of an easement structure, such as a party fence, or non-use of an easement by prescription. Encroachments. An encroachment is the unauthorized physical intrusion of one owner's real property into that of another. Examples of encroachments are a tree limb extending into the neighbor's property, violating his or her airspace. A driveway extending beyond the lot line onto the neighbor's land. Or a fence built beyond the property line. Encroachments cause infringements on the rights of the trespassed owner and may diminish the property's value, particularly when the property is to be sold. Encroachments often do not appear on a property's title records. A survey may be required to detect or demonstrate the existence of an encroachment. An owner may sue for removal of an encroachment or for compensation for damages. If an encroached owner takes no remedial action over a prescribed number of years, the encroachment may become an easement by prescription. Licenses. A license, much like a personal easement in gross, is a personal right that a property owner grants to another to use the property for a specific purpose. Licenses are not transferable and do not attach to the land. They cease on the death of either party or on the sale of the property. Unlike a personal easement in gross, a license is revocable at any time. Licenses are often granted informally, as a verbal statement of permission. A farmer granting a neighbor permission to cross his land to reach and fish in his pond is an example of a license. Deed restrictions. A deed restriction is a limitation imposed on a buyer's use of a property by stipulation in the deed of conveyance or recorded subdivision plat. A deed restriction may apply to a single property or to an entire subdivision. A developer may place restrictions on all properties within a recorded subdivision plat. Subsequent resales of properties within the subdivision are thereby subject to the plat's covenants and conditions. A private party who wants to control the quality and standards of a property can establish a deed restriction. Deed restrictions take precedence over zoning ordinances if they are more restrictive. Deed restrictions typically apply to the land use, the size and type of structures that may be placed on the property, minimum costs of structures, and engineering, architectural, and aesthetic standards, such as setbacks or specific standards of construction. Deed restrictions in a subdivision, for example, might include a minimum size for the residential structure, setback requirements for the home, and prohibitions against secondary structures, such as sheds or cottages. Deed restrictions are either covenants or conditions. A condition can only be created within a transfer of ownership. If a condition is later violated, a suit can force the owner to forfeit ownership to the previous owner. A covenant can be created by mutual agreement. If a covenant is breached, an injunction can force compliance or payment of compensatory damages. Liens. A lien is a creditor's claim against personal or real property as security for a debt of the property owner. If the owner defaults, the lien gives the creditor the right to force the sale of the property to satisfy the debt. For example, a homeowner borrows $5,000 to pay for a new roof. The lender funds the loan in exchange for the borrower's promissory note to repay the loan. At the same time, the lender places a lien on the property for $5,000 as a security for the debt. If the borrower defaults, the lien allows the lender to force the sale of the house to satisfy the debt. The example illustrates that a lien is an encumbrance that restricts free and clear ownership by securing the liened property as collateral for a debt. If the owner sells the property, the lien holder is entitled to that portion of the sales proceeds needed to pay off the debt. In addition, a defaulting owner may lose ownership altogether if the creditor forecloses. In addition to restricting the owner's bundle of rights, a recorded lien effectively reduces the owner's equity in the property to the extent of the lien amount. The creditor who places a lien on a property is called the lienor, and the debtor who owns the property is called the lienee. Liens have the following legal features. A lien does not convey ownership, with one exception. A lienor generally has an equitable interest in the property, but not legal ownership. The exception is a mortgage lien on a property in a title theory state. In these states, the mortgage transaction conveys legal title to the lender, who holds it until the mortgage obligations are satisfied. During the mortgage loan period, the borrower has equitable title to the property. A lien attaches to the property. If the property is transferred, the new owner acquires the lien, securing the payment of the debt. In addition, the creditor may take foreclosure action against the new owner for satisfaction of the debt. A property may be subject to multiple liens. There may be numerous liens against a particular property. The more liens there are recorded against property, the less secure the collateral is for a creditor, since the total value of all liens may approach or exceed the total value of the property. A lien terminates on payment of the debt and recording of documents. Payment of the debt and recording of the appropriate satisfaction documents ordinarily terminate a lien. If a default occurs, a suit for judgment or foreclosure enforces the lien. These actions force the sale of the property. Lien types. Liens may be voluntary or involuntary, general or specific, and superior or inferior. Voluntary and involuntary. A property owner may create a voluntary lien to borrow money or some other asset secured by a mortgage. An involuntary lien is one that a legal process places against a property regardless of the owner's desires. If statutory law imposes an involuntary lien, the lien is a statutory lien. A real estate tax lien is a common example. If court action imposes an involuntary lien, the lien is an equitable lien. An example is a judgment lien placed on a property as security for a money judgment. General and specific. A general lien is one placed against any and all real and personal property owned by a particular debtor. An example is an inheritance tax lien, placed against all property owner by the heir. A specific lien attaches to a single item of real or personal property and does not affect other property owned by the debtor. A conventional mortgage lien is an example where the property is the only asset attached to the lien. Superior and inferior lien. The category of superior or senior liens ranks above the category of inferior or junior liens, meaning that the superior liens receive first payment from the proceeds of a foreclosure. The superior category includes liens for real estate tax, special assessments, and inheritance tax. Other liens, including income tax liens, are inferior. Lien property. With the superior and inferior categories, a ranking of lien priority determines the order of the lien's claims on the security underlying the debt. The highest ranking lien is first to receive proceeds from the foreclosed and liquidated security. The lien with the lowest priority is last in line. The owner receives any sale proceeds that remain after all lieners receive their due. Lien priority is of paramount concern to the creditor since it establishes the level of risk in recovering loaned assets in the event of a default. Establishment of priority. Two factors primarily determine lien priority: the lien's categorization as a superior or junior, and the date of recordation of the lien. All superior liens take precedence over all junior liens, regardless of recording date, since they are considered to be matters of public record not requiring further constructive notice. Thus, a real estate tax lien, senior, recorded on June 15th, has priority over an income tax lien, junior, recorded on June 1st. A junior lien is automatically inferior or subordinate to a superior lien. Among junior liens, date of recording determines priority. The rule is, the earlier the recording date of the lien, the higher its priority. For example, if a judgment lien is recorded against a property on Friday and a mortgage lien is recorded on the following Tuesday, the judgment lien has priority and must be satisfied in a foreclosure ahead of the mortgage lien. The mechanics lien is an exception to the recording rule. Its priority dates from the point in time when the work commenced or ended, as state law determines, rather from when it was recorded. Subordination. A lienor can change the priority of a junior lien by voluntarily agreeing to subordinate or lower the lien's position in the hierarchy. This change is often necessary when working with a mortgage lender who will not originate a mortgage loan unless it is senior to all other junior liens on the property. The lender may require the borrower to obtain agreements from other lien holders to subordinate their liens to the new mortgage. For example, interest rates fall from 8% to 6.5% on first mortgages for principal residences. A homeowner wants to refinance her mortgage, but she also has a separate home equity loan on the house. Since the first mortgage lender will not accept a lien priority inferior to a home equity loan, the homeowner must persuade the home equity lender to subordinate the home equity lien to the new first mortgage lien. Superior liens. Real estate tax lien. The local legal taxing authority annually places a real estate tax lien, also called an ad valorem tax lien, against properties as security for payment of the annual property tax. The amount of a particular lien is based on the taxed property's assessed value and the local tax rate. Special assessment lien. Local government entities place assessment liens against certain properties to ensure payment for local improvement projects such as new roads, schools, sewers, or libraries. An assessment lien applies only to properties that are expected to benefit from the municipal improvement. Federal and state inheritance tax liens. Inheritance tax liens arise from taxes owed by a decedent's estate. The lien amount is determined through probate and attaches to both real and personal property. Junior liens. Tax liens. All tax liens other than those for ad valorem, assessment, and estate tax are junior liens. They include federal income tax lien, placed on a taxpayer's real and personal property for failure to pay income taxes. State corporate income tax lien, filed against corporate property for failure to pay taxes. State intangible tax lien, filed for non-payment of taxes on intangible property. State corporation franchise tax lien, filed to ensure collection of fees to do business within a state. Judgment lien. A judgment lien attaches to real and personal property as a result of a money judgment issued by a court in favor of a creditor. The creditor may obtain a writ of execution to force the sale of attached property and collect the debt. After paying the debt from the sale proceeds, the debtor may obtain a satisfaction of judgment to clear the title records on other real property that remains unsold. Certain properties are exempt from judgment liens, such as homestead property and joint tenancy estates. Mortgage and trust deed lien. In lien theory states, mortgages and trust deeds secure loans made on real property. In these states, the lender records a lien as soon as possible after disbursing the funds in order to establish lien priority. Vendor's lien. A vendor's lien, also called a seller's lien, secures a purchase money mortgage, a seller's loan to a buyer to finance the sale of a property. Municipal utility lien. A municipality may place a utility lien against a resident's real property for failure to pay utility bills. Mechanics lien. A mechanics lien secures the costs of labor, materials, and supplies incurred in the repair or construction of real property improvements. If a property owner fails to pay for work performed or materials supplied, a worker or supplier can file a lien to force the sale of the property and collect the debt. Any individual who performs approved work may place a mechanics lien on the property to the extent of the direct costs incurred. Note that unpaid subcontractors may record mechanics liens whether the general contractor has been paid or not. Thus, it is possible for an owner to have to double pay a bill in order to eliminate the mechanics lien if the general contractor neglects to pay the subcontractors. The mechanic's liener must enforce the lien within a certain time period, or the lien expires. In contrast to other junior liens, the priority of a mechanic's lien dates from the time when the work was begun or completed. For example, a carpenter finishes a job on May 15th. The owner refuses to pay the carpenter in spite of the carpenter's two-month collection effort. Finally, on August 1st, the carpenter places a mechanic's lien on the property. The effective date of the lien for purposes of lien priority is May 15th, not August the 1st. Foreclosure. All liens can be enforced by the sale or other transfer of title of the secured property, whether by court action, operation of law, or through powers granted in the original loan agreement. The enforcement proceedings are referred to as foreclosure. State law governs the foreclosure process. Broadly, a statutory or court-ordered sale enforces a general lien, including a judgment lien. A lawsuit or loan provision authorizing the sale or direct transfer of the attached property enforces a specific lien, such as a mortgage. Real estate tax liens are enforced through tax foreclosure sales, or tax sales. Mortgage lien foreclosure. The three types of foreclosure process enforce mortgage liens: judicial foreclosure, non-judicial foreclosure, and strict foreclosure. Judicial foreclosure. Judicial foreclosure occurs in states that use a two-party mortgage document, borrower and lender, that does not contain a power of sale provision. Lacking this provision, a lender must file a foreclosure suit and undertake a court proceeding to enforce the lien. Acceleration and filing. If a borrower has failed to meet loan obligations in spite of proper notice and applicable grace periods, the lender can accelerate the loan, or declare that the loan balance and all other sums due on the loan are payable immediately. If the borrower does not pay off the loan in full, the lender then files a foreclosure suit, naming the borrower as defendant. The suit asks the court to terminate the defendant's interests in the property, order the property sold publicly to the highest bidder, and order the proceeds applied to the debt. Lis pendens. In the foreclosure unit, a lis pendens gives public notice that the mortgage property may soon have a judgment issued against it. This notice enables other lien holders to join the suit against the defendant. Writ of execution. If the defendant fails to meet the demands of the suit during a prescribed period, the court orders the termination of interests of any and all parties in the property, and orders the property to be sold. The court's writ of execution authorizes an official, such as the county sheriff, to seize and sell the foreclosed property. Public sale and proceeds. After a public notice of the sale, the property is auctioned to the highest bidder. The new owner receives title free and clear of all previous liens, wherein the lien holders have been paid or not. Proceeds of the sale are applied to payment of liens according to priority. After payment of real estate taxes, lien holders' claims and costs of the sale, any remaining funds go to the mortgagor or borrower. Deficiency judgment. If the sale does not yield sufficient funds to cover the amounts owed, the mortgagee may ask the court for a deficiency judgment. This enables the lender to attach and foreclose a judgment lien on other real or personal property the borrower owns. Right of redemption. The borrower's right of redemption, also called equity of redemption, is the right to reclaim a property that has been foreclosed by paying off amounts owed to creditors, including interest and costs. Redemption is possible within a redemption period. Some states allow redemption during the foreclosure proceeding at any time until the gavel drops at the sale. Other states have statutory periods of up to a year following the sale for the owner of a foreclosed property to redeem the estate. Non-judicial foreclosure. When there is a power of sale provision in the mortgage or trust deed document, A non-judicial foreclosure can force the sale of the liened property without a foreclosure suit. The power of sale clause, in effect, enables the mortgagee to order a public sale without court decree. Foreclosure process. On default, the foreclosing mortgagee records and delivers notice to the borrower and other lien holders. After the proper period, a notice of sale is published, the sale is conducted, and all liens are extinguished. The highest bidder then receives unencumbered title to the property. Deficiency suit. The lender does not obtain a deficiency judgment or lien in a non-judicial foreclosure action. The lender instead must file a new deficiency suit against the borrower. Reinstatement and redemption. During the notice of default and notice of sale periods, the borrower may pay the lender and terminate the proceedings. Exact reinstatement periods vary from state to state. There is no redemption right in non-judicial foreclosure. Strict foreclosure. Strict foreclosure is a court proceeding that gives the lender title directly, by court order, instead of giving cash proceeds from a public sale. On default, the lender gives the borrower official notice. After a prescribed period, the lender files suit in court, whereupon the court establishes a period within which the defaulting party must pay the amounts owed. If the defaulter does not repay the funds, the court orders transfer of full legal title to the lender. Deed in lieu of foreclosure. A defaulting borrower who faces foreclosure may avoid court actions and costs by voluntarily deeding the property to the mortgagee. This is accomplished with a deed in lieu of foreclosure, which transfers legal title to the lien holder. The transfer, however, does not terminate any existing liens on the property. Chapter 5 Snapshot Review. Encumbrances are non-possessory interests limiting the legal owner's rights. An easement is a right to use portions of another's property. Easement appurtenant is a dominant tenement's right to use or restrict adjacent servient tenement attaches to the real estate. An easement by necessity, granted by necessity, example, to landlocked owners. Party wall, negative easement in a shared structure. Easement in gross is a right to use property that does not attach to the real estate. Personal, not revocable or transferable, ends upon death of easement holder. And commercial, granted to business and transferable. Easement creation is a voluntary grant or court decree by necessity or prescription, eminent domain. By prescription, obtainable through continuous, open, adverse use over a period. Easement termination. Easement termination refers to release, merger, abandonment, condemnation, or change of purpose, destruction, non-use. Easement termination results from release, mergers, abandonment, condemnation, change of purpose, destruction, non-use. Encroachments are intrusions of real estate into adjoining property, can become easements. Licenses are personal rights to use a property, do not attach, non-transferable, revocable. Deed restrictions are conditions and covenants imposed on a property by deed or subdivision plat. Liens are claims attaching to real and personal property as security for debt. Lien types: voluntary and involuntary, general and specific, superior and junior. Lien priority refers to the rank ordering of claims established by lien classification and date of recording. Determines who gets paid first if lienee defaults. Superior liens, rank over junior liens, not ranked by recording date, real estate tax and assessment liens, and inheritance taxes. junior lien, rank by recording date, judgment, mortgage, vendors, utility, mechanics, other tax liens. Mechanics lien priority dates back to when work or sale transpired. Foreclosure is the enforcement of liens through liquidation or transfer of encumbered property. Mortgage lien foreclosure is liquidation or transferal of collateral property by judicial, non-judicial, or strict foreclosure. Judicial foreclosure is a lawsuit and court-ordered public sale, deficiency judgments, and redemption rights. Non-judicial foreclosure is when the power of sale is granted to the lender, no suit, no deficiency judgment, no redemption period after sale. Strict foreclosure is when the court orders the legal transfer of the title directly to the lender without public sale. Deed in lieu of foreclosure is when the defaulted borrower deeds property to lender to avoid foreclosure.